Thank you for the opportunity to present this morning on identifying gaps and best practices of STI and HIV screening using nationally standardized data in the Indian Health Service electronic health record. To provide a little bit of background about the population that we serve, the American Indian Alaska Native population makes up approximately 1% of the total population and accounts for 565 federally recognized tribes that are located in 35 states. The Indian Health Service has the federal responsibility for providing health care for this population that is administered through 12 IHS administrative areas shown on the bottom map here, through over 160 IHS and tribally managed service units that comprise over 600 Indian Health Service tribally and urban Indian health facilities. The American Indian Alaska Native population is disproportionately affected by STDs. As you can see here, chlamydia rates among this population are twice that of the U.S. population. And in the 10 of the 12 Indian Health Service administrative areas, we see higher rates than the national average, with a lot of variation across the regions, ranging from 1.2 to nearly 6%, six times higher than national average. And as we would expect, we see a significant burden of chlamydia morbidity among Native women. The objectives of the research that we did was to assess the current performance of IHS healthcare providers specific to the STD and HIV prevention activities in the effort to try to identify gaps and opportunities for improving care for this population, with the ultimate goal of identifying best and promising practices that we can share more broadly with this population. In an effort to address some of the health disparities among this community and do that in a more systematic way, the National STD Program, in partnership with our HIV collaborators, developed four performance measures specific to STD and HIV. Those would include prenatal HIV screening, chlamydia screening for sexually active women 15 to 24, and two developmental measures looking at universal HIV screening for those 13 to 64, and a comprehensive STD screening measure that tries to look at the comprehensive services that are provided those who infected. In this measure, it specifically looks at if you test positive for one condition, you should be tested for all, including HIV, looking to get a better assessment of screening activities that include gonorrhea, chlamydia, syphilis, and HIV. These measures are monitored nationally, but also can be monitored at a local level through the Indian Health Service clinical reporting system. The clinical reporting system is built on a uniform health information technology platform and is standardized nationally. And to not put an additional burden on our population, these reports are reported passively. What we're going to present next is our work looking at two of those measures in the performance nationally, initially starting with our chlamydia screening rates among this population. We hear anecdotally from the folks in the field that they assume that there is a lot of screening that is happening for this population, but the numbers did not bear that out. We looked at 66 IHS federal facilities, and we saw that a screening rate of 26% for this population. We did see variability across the various regions. We have data for 10 of the 12 regions, where we have screening rates as high as 35% in this group, but as low as zero. We did take a closer look at a facility level where we saw even greater variability, where we again saw some programs that were screening nobody and others that were screening up to 50% of their population. We then complemented this assessment by doing some local assessments audits with facilities themselves. So we partnered with one IHS hospital in the Southwest and did an audit randomly selected charts of women that were overdue for chlamydia screening by 24 months or greater, looking at the extremes of those missed opportunities. And what we found is a portion of those, 12% of those women, had no indication that they were sexually active, so they weren't eligible for screening. But for the remaining 88, they had multiple visits to the healthcare system on an average of five, where there were missed opportunities to incorporate screening through other activities they were having, through whether that's a pregnancy test or other urine-based testing, where we could have incorporated chlamydia or gonorrhea screening. We also took a closer look at our comprehensive STD screening measure. Again, we partnered with the 66 facilities and found a 31% screening coverage for this measure. Again, we saw a lot of variability across the various regions, with a high of 43% in one and a low of 3% in another. Again, taking a closer analysis of the facility level data, we saw a larger range in screening coverage from 1% up to almost 70% in that population. Again, we partnered with three IHS healthcare facilities to take a closer look in trying to get additional data for what were some of the gaps and some of the challenges for doing these screening activities. We reviewed all STD diagnoses in a 12-month period of time for these facilities, equaling 140 cases, and looked at opportunities for improving prevention services. And some of the findings that we found is that the majority of missed opportunities were among women who were initially testing positive for chlamydia, making up over 90% of that group. And the testing that was missed for this population that wasn't extended to them were HIV testing and syphilis testing. 90% of those did not receive those additional services. But we did find a subset of that population that received much better care, and those were our prenatal clients that were more aggressively tested comprehensively, and we'll talk a little bit about that more. Through this audit process, we did find a number of issues with our data and the logic that we had. For Indian country, besides a few areas, we don't have a high prevalence of syphilis, so we don't see a lot of folks uniformly providing syphilis screening activities where they suffered from not being able to perform very well with that because they weren't routinely offering that service. We also found a number of issues with the logic that we had in the measure itself that was inflating a number of our numerators and denominators. One instance is we found in the IHS system, it counted an individual who was HIV positive. Every time they interacted with the healthcare system, they counted them as a new case of HIV. Those issues have been since resolved, so the numbers are much more reflective of true activities. Some of the recommendations that came out of this work is that through EHR clinical reminders, we're able to really optimize opportunities to screen this population. There are a number of clinical reminders that are currently in development and beta testing, those specific to chlamydia screening and rescreening. We also found that the use of the standardized protocol or standing orders at a local level ensured that there was consistent performance around screening activities for that population. We saw some of the high-performing sites. They created new opportunities to engage the population to really enhance screening opportunities, to really maximize their efforts. We also found that certain measures were higher profile with regard to prenatal HIV screening, which is a nationally reportable measure for Indian Health Service. We saw at a national level that we're screening over 80% for this population, which far exceeds the Healthy People 2010 goals. We also saw programs that made things easy and kind of took out the human aspect of making the decision whether to screen or not to screen, really increased screening activities. In some instances, folks built into their EHR sort of a one-click measure that then would bundle in HIV into their prenatal screening panel. And then as we all are aware, having consistent and local champions are always proving to be effective in making sure that these measures are staying high on the radar screen and ensuring that activities continue. And in developing programs that are provider endorsed but also give the freedom for nurses to ensure that these actually happen, because nurses within these programs are really the driving force for the STD HIV prevention work in these communities. Some of the other recommendations that we saw from some of our high performing sites is are easily reproducible within other settings, and those are just creating new opportunities to engage this community to make sure that more comprehensive services are provided. But there are some other sort of unintangible kind of things where it's less likely to be replicated elsewhere, and those are having small communities where faculty and staff are very well known and trusted. It's tough to reproduce that elsewhere. Also, having certain clinics that have kind of gone above and beyond the call to ensure that they're providing confidential services and meeting patients in a convenient way to provide screening services. Those are difficult to replicate elsewhere if you don't have that infrastructure. Here are a couple examples of some tools that were being used by some of our programs. There are some simple clinical protocols that were being used, making sure that everybody's reading off sort of the same script. And as you can see here, in every sort of clinical visit, they've built in chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis, and HIV screening into those visits. So looking at prenatal care, women's and men's initial visits, then also with sports and adolescent physicals, they were all providing comprehensive screening services. Another example is a clinic that implemented one of our clinical reminders specific to universal HIV screening, where you saw a very low and consistent screening level within that population. They then deployed their screening reminder in June and saw a significant spike in screening volume. So just with that small tweak to their system, they were able to greatly enhance their services. There were a number of limitations to the data. The data that we received through these CAN reports can't be further analyzed. You can't really tease out the nuances to what is happening, and which is why we had to go to a clinic level to review charts to get the better assessment for what opportunities that really existed for improving care. Also, these data are reported at a national level only a few times a year, so we're unable to really assess real-time performance and progress toward improving services. And the data that we represented today are only from our IHS federal sites and don't include tribal data because there are additional approvals that we need to get from the tribes in order to represent their data. So the data that we've shown here today is unlikely to be generalizable to the larger Native community. There are a number of conclusions that we've been able to arrive to come to through this process. With the implementation of these new measures, we've been able to establish for the first time STD-HIV baseline data for screening coverage at a national, regional, and a local level. And having this data now, it's really created new opportunities for us to engage sites specifically around their data to assess what are their specific technical assistance needs to try to improve services. We've also seen through this work that through the use of EHR tools like clinical reminders, we can greatly improve the identification of screening opportunities for our priority populations. Although we didn't discuss it in great detail today, it's been really difficult to try to keep STD-HIV screening on the front burner in a lot of these communities because of the many different competing priorities that they have around healthcare. We have seen a lot of success in specific settings around STD-HIV screening, but the cost of trying to scale those up more broadly across the country may be difficult given the resource challenges that the Indian Health Service has. But we believe that there are many opportunities moving forward with the rollout of the personal health record where clients will be much more involved in their care and be better advocates for their own STD-HIV services. And to acknowledge my collaborators, easy enough. Great.